The Supplication on Saturdays. In the name of Allah, the Beneficent, the Merciful. Bismillah, words that seekers of sanctuary repeatedly recite. Words that the very cautious in search of protection often repeat. I seek refuge with Allah, the Exalted above all, from the oppression of the unjust, from the deceitful malice the envious use to lay snares and traps, from the injustice and outrage of the tyrants, and I sing his praise. Do better and go beyond other praisers. O Allah, thou art one, has no partner, and is the Lord Master without being made. There is no discrepancy or nonsense in thy commands, nor there is lawlessness in thy kingdom. I beseech thee to send blessings on Muhammad, thy servant, thy messenger. To let me ask thee for enlightenment and inspiration, so as to be thankful for thy bounties, which alone get thy approval ultimately. To help me to obey thee and instinctively worship thee, and make me deserve thy rewards on account of thy very patronage. And have mercy on me, and prevent me from breaking in the bounds of thy prohibitions, as far as I am kept alive, and show the way unto that which is useful and advantageous till I go on survive. To let me take to heart the meanings of thy book, and by its reading, throw down the heavy burden of sins, and receive welfare and salvation as a gift. Let not my family and friends who love me leave me alone. Let thy favors reach me in abundance during the remainder of my life, exactly as they used to be made available for me in full in the days gone by. O the Most Merciful.
Today's special.
Assalamu alaikum.
It's special for you. We present to you today. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim, in the name of Allah, the Most Compassionate, the Most Merciful. Dear listeners of IRIB English Radio, this is today's special. Salamun Alaikum and so welcome. Today is the birthday anniversary of Imam Sajjad, Shia's fourth Imam. Congratulations. Today, Friday, is the 5th of Sha'ban, 1442 of the Islamic Lunar Hijri calendar, corresponding to the 29th of Isfan, 1399 of the Islamic Solar Hijri calendar, and the 19th of March, 2021 of the Christian Gregorian calendar. We offer our congratulations on all Muslims.
Every sound and every voice in every language ever heard. Each drop of ink that has been used to write every single word. They can never portray everything I feel in my heart and wanna say. And it's hard to explain why I could never describe my love for you.
Parts of Imam Sajjad's letter to his Shias and supporters. Seek Allah's help and return to the obedience to him. and those whose obedience should be preferred to those whom are currently followed and obeyed. Be thoroughly careful before you suffer regret and sorrow when you will be taken to Allah to stand before Him for maintaining judgment. By Allah, I take the oath, any people who direct to the disobedience to Allah will surely suffer His agony, and any people who prefer the worldly pleasures to the life to come will surely suffer grievous end and ill fate. Do not receive anything from the pleasures of this world through committing an act of disobedience to Allah. Spend your time with performing acts of obedience to Allah. Seize the opportunities of this world and work for matters due to which you will be saved from the agony of Allah. This way will decrease your sins, make your apologies more excusable, and increase your opportunities of salvation. Today is the birthday anniversary of Shia's fourth Imam, Imam Sajjad alayhi salam. So happy and congratulations to all Shia Muslim brothers and sisters.
Dr. Fakhr Rohani.
In this episode, we are going to talk about the fourth infallible Imam, Ali ibn Hussein al-Sajjad alayhi salam. Regarding the life and times of Imam al-Sajjad alayhi salam, it must be indicated that it was due to his piety and his insistence on accomplishing Islamic rituals and performing prayers that he was given the honorific title Zain al-Abidin, the ornament of worshippers. And in this connection, it must be indicated that he was so insistent on performing the ritual, the rituals and Islamic acts of piety, that once Fatima, a daughter of the first infallible Imam Ali ibn Abi Talib alayhi salam, asked Jabir ibn Abdullah al-Ansari to remind Imam al-Sajjad alayhi salam not to be so insistent on performing prayers because everybody feared of the point that Imam al-Sajjad alayhi salam might lose his life because of his intense concentration on acts of piety and worshipping Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. At the same time, it must be indicated that Imam al-Sajjad alayhi salam was really a God-worthy person, such that Imam al-Sajjad alayhi salam, when he wanted to, when he intended to perform wudu in order to perform the rest of Islamic acts of piety, he was trembling due to fearing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And at the same time, it must be indicated that once Imam al-Sajjad alayhi salam started his canonical prayer, that is Salat, he was inattentive to anything else, such that once one of the sons of Imam al-Sajjad alayhi salam broke his hand, and so long as Imam al-Sajjad alayhi salam was concerned with the act of performing Salat, a doctor was called on and he came in and did his medication. It was after the Salat that Imam al-Sajjad alayhi salam knew well that one of his sons had such a mishap.
يا من أتيت فزدت حبنا أسعدتنا وجمعت شملنا أنت هدية من الله لنا بعد انتظارنا لك طول السنة فيك السرور والهنا حمدا لك يا ربنا Let's enjoy this happy day. Eid Mubarak, come on, let's celebrate. Eid Sa'id, let's enjoy this happy day. Eid Mubarak, come on, let's celebrate, celebrate, let's celebrate. Allah, Allah, thank you for this day.
Life of Imam Sajjad alayhi salam. Imam Sajjad alayhi salam is referred to in several narrations for his devotion to God and commitment to prayer. Two of his titles are Zainul Abidin, that means the adornment of the worshippers, and As-Sajjad, that means the often in prostration. The Imam was a survivor of the massacre at Karbala in which he witnessed the murder of his father and family. Imam Sajjad thereafter played a crucial role in narrating the tragedies and confronting Yazid's government in Syria. The Imam had a long period as Imam, 34 years. During his tenure, the Imam wrote many works which served to revive some of the religious knowledge of the Prophet to the followers of Ahlul Bayt in particular and Muslims in general. His two famous works, As-Sahifa As-Sajjadiyah, Psalms of As-Sajjad, and Risalatul Huquq, the treatise on rights, remain crucial documents and are still celebrated and studied as primary sources of the Shia today. Dear listeners, dear brothers and sisters, please accept our congratulations on the birthday anniversary of Imam Sajjad, peace be upon him. Notable books by Imam Sajjad. The legacy of Imam Sajjad has preserved through the centuries by the books compiled by the Islamic scholars from his supplications and prayers. As-Sahifa As-Sajjadiyah is the collection of the Imam Sajjad's supplication, which also reflects the social status at that time, especially in Medina. The supplication presents his aversion to bad behavior and speech of people at that time, taking refuge to God from what he saw and heard and clarifying the right path under the guidance of religion and the Quran and the purification of souls from pollutions. This book has been translated into several languages. Risalatul Huquq is the title of the lengthy narration from Imam Sajjad compiled as a book. This narration, which contains over 50 duties of any individual towards other, is in fact a treatise on moral conduct in both personal and social life. The rites discussed in this treatise address various social relations of any individual, like the duties toward parents, spouse, children, neighbors, teachers, students, believers, the leader of the congregational prayer, the government, and etc. Because of the particular position and the comprehensive content, several translations and commentators have been written on this treatise.
والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين محمد وآله الطاهرين. If we want to understand the concept of worship, the concept of devotion, the concept of supplication, then first we must familiarize ourselves with Imam Zainul Abidin عليه السلام. The fifth day of Sha'ban is the birthday of Imam Zainul Abidin عليه السلام, the fourth Imam of Ahlul Bayt, the son of Imam al-Husayn alayhi salam, Ali ibn al-Husayn, the Imam that is called, that amongst his names is As-Sajjad, the prostrator, the worshipper. And Imam Zainul Abidin alayhi salam spent his entire life in worship, in supplication, in dua, in salah, in reciting Quran, in speaking with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in dhikr, And likewise, he spent his life after Ashura, he spent it all in grief for his father, Imam al-Hussein alayhi salam. And he left us a great legacy. Look at the du'as, the beautiful du'as that he left us. For example, you see the beautiful du'a of Abu Hamza, du'a Abu al-Hamza al-Thamali is by Imam Zain al-Abidin alayhi salam. How beautifully he teaches how to speak with Allah, how to ask for mercy and forgiveness, how to thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for his benefactions, how to praise and glorify Allah in the most eloquent, beautiful way. It's all in the du'as of Imam Zain al-Abidin. Read Fatih al-Jinan, you see many du'as from Imam Zain al-Abidin. And especially du'a, the book of Sahifa Sajjadiyah, so many beautiful du'a, so many munajat that are narrated by Imam Zain al-Abidin alayhi salam. He left us this beautiful legacy. He taught us how to speak with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He taught us likewise how to mourn for his father, Imam al-Hussein alayhi salam, that is narrated that every drink of water he would drink for the rest of his life after Karbala, after Ashura, he would mix it with his tears. Every bite he would eat, he would mix it with his tears for his father, Imam al-Hussein alayhi salam. And Imam Zainul Abidin alayhi salam's mother was a very noble woman, a woman by the name of Shahrbanu or Shahrbanuway or Shahzanat. And this honorable woman is a descendant of a Persian king. Her grandfather was a Persian king. And it was during one of the battles that the Muslims had with the Persian Empire that the Muslims conquered the Persian Empire, and she was taken as a slave. Imam Ali alayhi salam, he took her and he told her to choose who she wants to marry. She quickly went and chose Imam al-Hussein alayhi salam to be her husband. He married her and they had Imam Zain al-Abidin alayhi salam as their son. And she was a very noble and great woman. And that's why you find that Imam Zain al-Abidin alayhi salam was called Ibn al-Khiratayn, the son of the best of the Arabs and the best of the Persians.
مولد السبط تجلى ولنا عيد عظيم ومع السبط مضينا في الصراط المستقيم.
That was all for today's special. Thank you very much for being with us on the auspicious day of birthday anniversary of Imam Sajjad. Congratulations and have a nice time.
La ilaha illa Allah, Allah Rabbi, Muhammad Nabi, Aliyul Imami. La fata illa Ali, Aliyul Imami, Aliyul Imami, Aliyul Imami.
La ilaha illa Allah, Allah Rabbi,
Muhammad Nabi, علي إمامي.
لا فتى إلا علي، علي إمامي، علي إمامي، علي إمامي.
Food for thought.
Hello dear friends, and congratulations on the birthday anniversary of the survivor of the tragedy of Karbala, Imam Zain al-Abidin, peace be upon him, the fourth infallible successor of Prophet Muhammad, blessings of God upon him and his progeny. And here is something to ponder upon from Imam Zain al-Abidin, peace be upon him. Fear God and know that you will inevitably return to him, when everyone will see his good and bad deeds right before his very eyes. He will wish for the longest period of time to separate himself from his bad deeds.
Thank you. WTB English Radio. Please log on to our website, www.parstoday.com/en.
Oh Lord, here I am, pleading at your door. Send me your mercy, send me your peace, or I am lost for sure.
Hadith of the day.
Here I am, yearning for your cure. This humble servant will be diverted from you no more, no more, no more.
You're listening to the program Hadith of the Day on IRIB English Radio with Sheikh Yasser Ibrahim, a graduate of Islamic Seminary of Qom.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين وصلى الله على سيدنا ونبينا ومولانا أبي القاسم المصطفى محمد وعلى أهل بيته الطيبين الطاهرين المعصومين السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. Dear listeners, welcome to another episode of Hadith of the Day on IRIB English Radio. Again, we send our sincerest congratulations to the Imam of the time, Imam Sahib al-Asr al-Zaman, firstly, and then to all the Muslims throughout the world, on this being the day that is recorded to be the birth of Imam Sajjad alayhi salam, the fourth holy Imam. Again, an Imam whose life is full of incidents, full of lessons, you know, things that we experience but we are unable to solve. If we just had to look at the life of this Imam, many resolutions and solutions can be found. The Imam who lived at such a difficult time in the history of Islam, immediately after the event of Karbala, the day of Ashura, and that journey he took from Karbala to Kufa, Kufa to Sham, Sham back to Medina, either via Karbala or whatever the historians may say, the Imam who reignited the Islamic Ummah. This is important. By means of dua, Allah, by means of supplication, the Imam awoken the Islamic Ummah. So in this beautiful tradition from Imam Sajjad alayhi salam, we see that the Imam is trying to kind of bring back the social nature of Muslims. There is a certain demeanor by which a Muslim should act in terms of society. The Imam in this tradition says that, you know, looking of a mu'min, of a believer, so that looking of a believer, you know, towards the face of another believer. Oh, the hadith says, you know, fi wajhi akhihi, you know, in towards the face of his brother. Now here brother does not mean biological brother, it means his brother in faith, but with a particular intention. For what? Lil muwadda, and for love, for compassion, but not what we know as love. No, it's brotherly love, this fraternity. If this is done, you know, this is a type of worship, this is an act of. So the Imam is saying here clearly that if a mu'min looks at the face of his fellow mu'min with compassion, with love, you know, with dignity, knowing that this is my brother in faith, this act of his with this intention is an act of worship and something that deserves a reward from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is important, my dear brothers and sisters, and how we interact with everybody around us. As we know, we have responsibilities to those around us as well. Inshallah, until next time, my dear brothers and sisters. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah wa barakatuh.
That was the program Hadith of the Day on IRIB English Radio with Sheikh Yasser Ibrahim, a graduate of Islamic Seminary of Qom.
Oh here I am, pleading at your door. Send me your mercy, send me your peace.
cross for sure. Oh Lord, here I am, yearning for your cure. This humble servant will be diverted from you no more, no more, no more.
Quran Quest, yes please. Quest, answering your Quranic questions. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ala Muhammad. To all our brothers and sisters, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. You are listening to IRIB English Radio, broadcasting from Iran. This is Quran Quest, where we study the verses of the Quran one by one with our dear and beloved Sheikh Habib. Assalamu alaikum, Sheikh Habib. Welcome to the program as always.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Thank you for having me here, brother.
So we're on chapter Mary, which is chapter 19 of the Quran, and we've arrived at verse 23. Let's listen to verses 23 onwards from the chapter Mary, then we'll be back for our discussion. Don't go away.
A'udhu billahi minash shaytanir rajeeb. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم.
In the name of Allah, the entirely merciful, the especially merciful. And the pains of childbirth drove her to the trunk of a palm tree. She said, "Oh, I wish I had died before this and was in oblivion, forgotten." But he called her from below her, "Do not grieve. Your Lord has provided beneath you a stream."
You're back on IRIB English Radio, broadcasting from Iran. This is Quran Quest. You just listened to verses 23 from chapter 19. That's chapter Mary onwards. And so the first verse, Brother Habib, says that the birth pangs brought her to the trunk of a date palm. She said, "I wish I had died before this and become a forgotten thing, beyond recall," which signifies a lot of fear, a lot of regret. So just to put our audience into context, this is where Gabriel appears in front of Lady Mary in the form of a man, assures her that he's an angel, not a man, and tells her that she's going to have a child, although no man has ever touched her. That's possible because God can do whatever he wants. There's a lot of fear in this, even though that Gabriel has assured Mary that he's an angel and harmless.
A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajeem. Bismillahir rahmanir rahim. Wa sallallahu ala Muhammadin wa ali baytihi at-tayyibin at-tahirin. Well, anyone in the situation of Sayyidatina Maryam alayha salam would also feel the same thing. And I would even elaborate on that and state that if only one aspect of the situation she was in is enough for us to
kind of wish we were dead before what we went through, especially if we were at that modesty level and pious level and devoted level that Sayyida Maryam alayhi salam was in. Now, I have to put this into context, that Sayyida Maryam alayhi salam was from a holy family, a sacred family, a clean family, a pure family. She was known for her religious beliefs and strong religious beliefs. She was known for her righteousness, whatever you want to call it. Maryam alayhi salam. She was known. And not only that, she was by herself giving birth. If you ask any woman, heck, if you even ask a man who was with the woman at labor, what is the most painful thing you could imagine? It would be giving birth to another human being. A human being, for God's sakes, is exiting you. All your intestines are around your body. They've moved. You're not only that, but you are tired. You're by yourself. You need emotional support. She was by herself and with no family members. That pain she was going through. And it's a tough situation. It really is a tough situation. And I also have to elaborate on something else. I think that will be after the break.
All right, yes. We do have to take a break now, but after that, we will be back. Don't go away.
إن سألتم عن إلهي فهو رحمن رحيم أنزل الشارع حنيفا رحمة للعالمين رحمة للعالمين.
This is Quran Quest on IRIB English Radio. It's a program that attempts to answer your questions pertaining to the Noble Quran. We'd be delighted to have your comments about the program. Just search Quran Quest on IRIB English Radio.
If you ask me who my God is, on whose name I call, if you ask me who my God is, He's the God of us all, Allah the Merciful. If you ask me what my book is that I hold in my hand, if you ask me what my book is, it's the Holy Quran, the Holy Quran.
You're back on IRIB English Radio, broadcasting from Iran. This is Quran Quest. We are studying verse 23 of chapter 19, chapter Mary, which is about when Mary is informed that she's going to have a child and she's very worried about it, to the extent that she says, I wish I had died before this and become a forgotten thing beyond recall. So you're pointing out that one of the reasons for her worry is because of the troubles and the hardships of labor, and she was all alone. But what about the future? Was she also concerned about, I mean, how are people going to, I don't even know what word to use, how are they going to see her when suddenly she comes in with a child?
That's what I was pointing out to before the break, when I was stating that she was holy, she was from a holy family and whatnot. Now, here I have to give this introduction, that Nabiullah Ayyub, you know Ayyub, yeah, he's known for his what? His patience. In Ilal al-Sharaa, Shaykh al-Saduq narrates the saying that when all these hardships and all these adversaries that Nabiyuna alayhi salam was going through, being made fun of or being told...
Humiliated,
I think is the best thing. Humiliated in what aspect? In the aspect of sinning. Humiliating in the aspect of disobeying Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Why? The people started saying that, what has this man done that Allah is punishing him?
Like that.
And that was the reason why Nabiullah Ayyub lost it. He's like, Ya Ilahi, in the saying, he states, Oh Allah, I have been patient for everything that you're in, and I will remain patient. I am thankful. But I cannot handle being humiliated for something that I didn't do, and that is sinning towards you. That's one of the hardest things. He lost his patience. It is also very hard for a believer, not only for the prophets. For a believer, it's very hard. You're a worshiper of Allah. You're a servant of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Saying that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has left his mercy away from you. Why? Because you disobeyed him or you sinned. That's something very hard. And that's the fear that Sayyida Maryam alayhi salam had. Imagine holding a baby, right? And you're well known for being holy. and being clean and being pure, being modest, and you're holding a baby. Who's the father? Where's the father? What happened?
And how just can imagine you convince
that.
People
just
that?
Imagine that. Now we have unmodest girls who are ashamed and embarrassed to bring up their baby that they had from adultery. So how about this woman that was holding a holy baby being what? Attributed to adultery. That's one of the hardest things, and I think that, by itself, it's enough for a modest woman to what? To wish that she was dead. Because, you know, because subhanAllah, I think in this time we've lost it. That this modesty, that this person is a clean and pure person, this reputation is very important. It is very important. To a point where, for example, the Prophet ﷺ was walking with one of his wives. A man came, and the Prophet told him, "This is my wife. This is my wife." He emphasized on it. The reason behind it is that so that this person doesn't think that the Prophet is going with someone other than his wife.
To block even the smallest chances of misunderstanding.
Reputation is very important. And I don't know, I don't care. Like sometimes, people do make up things and whatnot. But it is hard to go through, you know, being called, for example, an adulterer, a sinner and whatnot. And you're not even like that. You're a true worshiper of Allah. You're a pure person. And that is, I think that is enough for someone like in the status of Mary alayhi salam to be wishing such a, you know.
Can we squeeze in a question in approximately 30 seconds? It does seem that so Mary didn't go through the normal procedure of pregnancy, which takes 9 months. So immediately Jesus was in her, in her tummy, and then she was...
The Mufassirin, the interpreters of the Holy Quran have many different interpretations to this. فَأَجَاءَهَا, the word فَأَجَاءَهَا, it comes from جَاءَ, and it has the extra hamza. And usually when the Arabs put in that extra letters, they're giving it, they give it more meaning, or they're emphasizing on something. And it could be here that it's emphasizing the fact that Lady Maryam, alayhi salam, right away gave birth. Some of them state 9 hours, and we have to talk about hours on one show. The hours, what is meant by the hours of the Holy Quran? It's a very beautiful topic as well. It could be 9 hours, 9 days. There's also this 9 months. There's some of them that state 6 months. And pretty much the things are different. But what I want to say here is that it was quick. It was a normal birth.
Quicker than normal. Yeah. All right, let's take a break now. And we will be back after the break for further discussions on this verse.
Stay tuned to the IRIB English Radio.
You're back on IRIB English Radio, broadcasting from Iran. This is Quran Quest. We are on verse 23 from chapter 19 of the Quran. That is chapter Mary, salamullah alayha. So as our next question on this verse, the verse says that the birth pangs brought her to the trunk of a date palm. Right? Now, normally when we're speaking, we don't speak like that. We say that we went to a date palm, to a tree. We never specify the trunk. Is there any special reason that God subhanahu wa ta'ala has specified trunk in this verse?
This really comes from the eloquence of the Holy Quran. I want to talk about it after verse 27, actually. But I'll point it out right now, and then inshallah ta'ala, like in next month, you guys will hear me inshallah ta'ala for all alive. I'll talk about it more. And that's the eloquence of the Holy Quran, the eloquence of the Arabic language, being able to bring up very deep, various, vast, wide meanings in such short words. And here, like, yes, how you stated, there is a reason behind stating that. And that is to show I'm not going to say miracle, or I would say karama, or, you know, that out of supernatural, that supernatural act that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala blessed Mary with. And that was, she went to a dead tree. Like how you stated, if she went to a tree, she would have said a tree. But she went jada an nakhil, which means like that dried up palm tree. She went there, and then how the next verses will talk, that shake that trunk, and that dates will fall off a dead tree.
So the Quran has used the word trunk to imply that it's a dry tree.
Yes, it's a dry tree, and that's one of the mercies that Allah gave her. Like how we stated that she was alone, but she wasn't alone. She was with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala was, you know, at her aid.
All right, thanks for all those very nice explanations on verse 23. Let's move to verse 24 while we have some time. And so verse 24 reads, "Thereupon he called her from below her, saying, 'Do not grieve, your Lord has made a spring to flow at your feet.'" So my question here is that who is making this announcement? Is this God telling her or is this Gabriel? And why is it specifically saying called from below her?
Here, there are actually two answers actually to your question, two possible answers. First of all, I want to answer the first question, who called her. If you look at the translation, so a voice reassured her. It's not giving a precise answer to who. It could be Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala creating a voice, like how he did with the story of Moses, where he created the voice and he talked to Moses by creating a voice actually from that fire, from that tree, different narrations. And it could also mean that the angels were calling her. It could also mean something else. And it could answer your second question to why it was from beneath her. The reason behind that, it could be like this river talking to her. And it's not actually talking to her. It's actually a sign. There was no talking whatsoever. There was no voice. It was actually the manifestation of the voice telling her, I'm here to help you. And that is, for example, the availability of water.
So it was an inspiration.
We could talk about it, inshallah, on the next show.
All right, we will. All right, thank you very much. We will talk about that on our next program next week, inshallah. If you missed it, don't worry. You can always download an archive of this episode and our previous episodes from our website. Simply search IRIB English Radio Quran Quest. Until next week, and a lot of Quran reading. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Methodology that the Quran uses is to talk to the emotional side of the human being.
Ya ayyuhal ladhina amanu, O you who believe, ista'inu bis sabri wa salah.
And we have set forth for mankind in this Quran full of examples.
Minbar, a lecture on Islamic issues.
Islam is a way of life, a complete way. It's a complete way.
Dear audience, congratulations on the birth anniversary of Imam As-Sajjad, alayhi salam. Now let's listen to a short speech by Sheikh Hamza Sodagar.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. In celebrating the birth of these two great Imams, we want to try to see this connection between the Imams, the connection between Imam al-Husayn, who we know for the event of Karbala, and Imam Zainul Abidin, whom we know as the one who was ill in Karbala, and the accomplishment we see in his life is Sahifa As-Sajjadiyya. Imam Zainul Abidin was not an imam that sat down and wrote du'as and presented them to the people, and that is his accomplishment. He just taught du'as to people. This is also a misunderstanding, and it is, I believe, disrespectful to view our imam in that way and think that what he presented was a number of du'as that we have that collection as a sahifa as-sajadiyya today. The imama of the imam starts in the year 61 and it continues until the imama of Imam al-Baqir. For a few decades, Imam Zainul Abidin is leading the ummah. A few decades is not a few du'as, it's much more than that. we know of Abu Hamza al-Thumali by a dua that we have in by that name in Mafatih al-Janan or other books of dua that we recite in the month of Ramadan. However, Abu Hamza al-Thumali does not only have a hadith in that area. There are ahadith related to other areas, understanding the aqaid of Islam, understanding the ahkam of Islam, the teachings of Islam, as a teacher, as an instructor, providing information regarding what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has said, regarding what the Prophet has said, regarding what the Prophet did, and the various aspects of life that we need that is called the religion of Islam. Imam Zain al-Abidin was also involved with that. There can be a number more mentioned as the various activities that they shared, and then there are certain activities that each of them did independently, or in other words, one of those imams did that the other did not engage in. For instance, the uprising with the sword that Imam al-Husayn was involved in, and he led after him. Imam Zain al-Abidin did not engage in such an activity. In the same way that after the treaty was accepted by Imam al-Mujtaba, they didn't engage, and prior to that, they didn't have an uprising. The Imams didn't have, prior to the time of Imam al-Husayn, there was no uprising. A revolution, armed rebellion against the authority that identifies as the authority leading the Muslims. There was never such an act by the Imams prior to that or after that until the Imam of our time. When the Imam of our time comes, he will have an uprising, an armed rebellion against all tyranny, and he will be supported by the believers who have already established a government that's moving towards a just government in the various countries that we have. Imam Zain al-Abidin did not engage in an armed rebellion against the government. Imam al-Baqir also did not personally engage in that. And Imam al-Sadiq, salamullah alayh, was not able to, in the end, engage in that, although apparently according to the ahadith and according to the understandings of some of our historians, Imam al-Sadiq's plan was to engage on that. Eventually, it didn't come to that, and Imam al-Sadiq was not able to. Comparing Imam Zain al-Abidin and Imam al-Husayn was involved in an armed uprising and rebellion against the government. Imam Zain al-Abidin was not. Imam Zain al-Abidin specifically worked on du'as, a number of du'as, although Imam al-Husayn was definitely someone who was involved with dua, various du'as, and we are sure that one way or another, people were taught du'as, perhaps shorter du'as that we have not received. But Imam Zain al-Abidin had a particular responsibility to write these du'as. He wrote these du'as. Imam Zain al-Abidin did not just, like the instance of Amir al-Mu'mineen teaching Kumail ibn Ziyad the dua that we know as dua Kumail, by the name of that companion. That dua was not written apparently by Amir al-Mu'mineen. It says that Amir al-Mu'mineen taught Kumail ibn Ziyad that dua. Doesn't say that he wrote it and gave it to him. Teaching usually occurred in a different way, in a verbal, oral transmission. But Imam Zain al-Abidin wrote those du'as and then made copies of them. His sons had copies of them. We have an account where Zayd ibn Ali ibn al-Husayn, the shaheed, the great shaheed, whose shahada was in line with the teachings of the Imams at the time of Imam al-Sadiq salamullah alayh, based on the instructions of Imam al-Sadiq salamullah alayh, that armed uprising. That's why we said Imam al-Sadiq did not personally engage in that for various reasons. Anyhow, Zayd had a copy of those du'as. He had many of those du'as, most of those du'as. He had a copy of each of those du'as. Apparently they were written individually. And there was a copy that Imam al-Sadiq salamullah alayhi had, and someone had made a copy of that. And Zaid came across that copy and realized that there's one of the du'as that he doesn't have a copy of, and he was reading. And so Imam Zain al-Abidin made copies, or had his sons make copies of these du'as. This is a particular activity that Imam Zain al-Abidin salamullahi alayhi is involved in. The best element, the best method, the best technique, the best strategy to guide the masses, which is the main responsibility of the imam, as an imam, that is his responsibility, that's what that means. The most important, effective instrument in the hands of an imam is governance, and it is up to him to establish it. That's the connection between Imam al-Husayn, Imam Zain al-Abidin. In light of that, you should see the activities of the imam and the imams, not outside of that. It isn't the case that if Imam Zain al-Abidin is writing du'as and teaching du'as, he's not thinking of that. He's not working on that, even with his du'as. Imam Zain al-Abidin, with his du'as, is working towards that. In many ways. One of the ways is that Islamic teachings that in the Quran are there, however, people have gotten misinformed about what those teachings are. In a different wording, the imam is putting them in the form of du'a. The relation between the people and government, the responsibility of people towards government, government towards people, all of that is stated in the du'as of Imam Zain al-Abidin. This is giving the ideology that the revolutionaries need to have, and spread that ideology. We have hadith that Imam Zain al-Abidin, besides those du'as, which, as I said, those du'as even include this material, but there are other writings that Imam Zain al-Abidin had that he would give his close companions. That was taqiyya. He was not able to get them out on a wide scale. He had to start based on the conditions that he was in. He had to start building revolutionaries, people that are willing to risk their lives. Imam Zain al-Abidin did that. He wrote and gave to certain companions, told to distribute. Fridays, read, get together, read these lines. You look at those, subhanallah. Those are instructions establishing a mental foundation, an ideological foundation for the minds of the revolutionaries, those who will partake in an uprising, those who want, believe in an uprising against tyranny. That's what Imam Zain al-Abidin, that's exactly what Imam al-Husayn did. Prior to Karbala, Imam al-Husayn worked on that, continuing, picking up where Imam al-Mujtaba left off. Imam al-Mujtaba was working towards that too after the treaty. He didn't sit at home doing nothing. He was working on that, training revolutionaries. One way, in the conditions and circumstances at that time, of that time, people who had experienced the governance of Amir al-Mu'mineen, had worked with him, had been to battle with him, they were still present at the time, working on those individuals, preparing them in different ways. Imam al-Mujtaba, then Imam al-Husayn. After Karbala, that was all over. Imam Zain al-Abidin has to start from scratch. And he's building revolutionaries. He's not building, he's not creating a type of urafa that are not involved with a revolution. That's not the training of Imam Zain al-Abidin. Imam Zain al-Abidin on a social scale is building revolutionaries that are urafa, and urafa that are revolutionaries, as the rest of the imams did.
You're listening to Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran. This program entitled Minbar. Our email address is englishradio@irib.ir.
Rahi Kareem. Fruitful Moments with IRIB English Radio. Log on to our website, www.parstoday.com/en.
Lecture. Sheikh Asad Ja'fari.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله الذي لا يبلغ مدحته القائلون ولا يحصي نعماءه العادون ولا يؤدي حقه المستحدون الذي لا يدركه بعد الحمم ولا يناله غوص الفطن ثم الصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين حبيب قلوبنا وطبيب نفوسنا وشفيع ذنوبنا سيدنا ومولانا أبي القاسم محمد اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد وعجل فرجهم وآل بيته الطيبين الطاهرين المعصومين المظلومين لا سيما بقية الله